From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, talking New York Rangers hockey with Ranger Proud, the Rink Podcast, filling episode, catch up on some Rangers hockey. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Live stream also on the same site. Audio archive episodes to hear all the episodes of The Rink and all the other stuff on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tuning your Stitcher apps, as well as the podcast tab. And it's a good joyous day to talk Rangers hockey in the all season. It's good to talk with RP Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud could be found on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud, as well as on Instagram. RP, what's going on, man? It's been about a couple of weeks. How's everything, man?
It's going really good. It was a good day for the Rangers. How you doing?
It was a good day for the Rangers. Before we get into the Rangers, though, man, come on, man. Tell us the goods, man. How was the vacation, man? You went on the luxurious
the vacation was great.
Of Ranger Proud. Tell us about vacation, man. How was it, man? Share it with the audience, man.
The vacation was great. Good to go away for a week and just recharge and not worry about work and so forth. We went up to Lake George and did some fishing and went in the lake and did some pool and some beers. It was a good week.
That's perfect. You caught anything? What'd you catch?
I caught large. I didn't catch much of anything. My wife and girls caught a bunch of largemouth bass fish, which was really good. Nice little spot on the lake. Chartered a boat out with just the four of us. It was a really good time.
That is good, man. I mean, there's nothing like going away for just a week or a few days, a long weekend, to really, like you said, I think you used the perfect term is recharge, to sink in as far as much as hard work you have put in and writing your articles, or your Instagram, the news and notes every day on Ranger Proud, the Facebook page, man. And we all need a break sometime in life. And this isn't just you or myself. I mean, I'm talking about anybody in general who has a passion for doing something they like. You gotta have to take a break every now and then just to reset, recharge, spend time with the family, the loved ones, and really get away. And actually, you come back more refreshed and rejuvenated. Not that you weren't before,
absolutely.
But that's just
no.
I totally understand.
You need that breakaway. Yeah, there's nothing like sitting out there, especially at the lake, just relaxing. The weather was great. Light up a cigar, relax a little bit, and just recharge and get your thoughts back, and then, you know, come right back at it. At least that's the game plan anyway.
Now, you wasn't having to be checking up on New York Rangers notes and news while you were out there, too, though. I mean, this is totally put the phone in airplane mode, right?
It's never in airplane mode. It's never.
My buddy
Mike helped post on Ranger Proud when I was away. And I didn't write any articles or anything like that when I was away. We're checking notes, you know, just seeing what's going on. You don't want to get I hockey's a big part of what I do and what I am, so I don't mind following on. I mean, it's so easy nowadays, Steve, just with the phone. Just Twitter does all the work. I just read it if it's interesting or not. So it was nothing, you know, crazy. It didn't take me away from anything like that and all. So, but it's always good to see what's going on around the league. You know, the league never stops, so you don't want to get too far behind in it. But, yeah, I tend to keep my eyes just on the hockey stuff when I'm away.
Yeah, I must have missed the post about you posting the bass on Ranger Proud's Instagram page. I must have missed that one. Maybe I'll catch it on the next go around.
Yeah.
You said it best, man. A glorious day for the Rangers, huh? Because Zibanejad gets his multi-year deal. Let's talk about that, man. In my opinion, there was no worries about it getting done. No surprise, but it got done. What's your thoughts as far as the contract and both sides are happy? What's your thoughts?
You know, I think it was a good contract. A 5-year, he got what he – what the contract that he received was what other people in his in his scoring and his talent got, you know, this offseason. People have to remember, too, this was his first year with the Rangers, but, he suffered the broken leg, so he missed out on a lot of playing time. He still had a fairly good season. I expect him to have better numbers next year when he plays an entire season. So I was happy with the contract. I'm looking at the numbers now, Steve, and they front-ended it. So he's not making as much money on the back end of the contract. You know, he's making $5 million this year, $5.5 million in 19, $5.3 million in 20. And then he goes down to $2.6 million in the 2021 season, plus a $2.5 million signing bonus. Keep in mind, that's the supposed lockout year coming up. Unfortunately, they're already planning on there might be a work stoppage. So if you notice all these contracts, a lot of them are doing less salary and more signing bonuses in the 2020-21 season, because even if there's a lockout, they're entitled to the signing bonus but not salary. And then in the last season, the last year of his contract, he makes 4.7. He's only 24 years old now. In 5 years, he'll only be 29. So I think it was a good contract for him, you know, for the Rangers and for Zdeněk Zajac. They did push it all the way down to the wire. There were rumors earlier this morning that he was already in arbitration because the hearing was set for 9 o'clock. But that two sides kept going at it, and I think it was like 11:30. They came out with the announcement. So I'm happy with it. They couldn't afford to lose the third center from last year if that would have, you know, if things would have really went bad. So the Rangers knew they had to sign him. Zibanejad wanted to be back with the Rangers, and you know, they worked out a good contract for him. It'll be here for a while.
Yeah, and he's at a nice young age as well. And like you said, he's a Ranger that came onto the team after the Broussard trade in the offseason last year. Had a lot of expectations from him, and I think he had a little bit of a setback with the broken leg for that extended period of time and hasn't really fully recovered, but he played decent hockey, especially on the line with Zuccarello. So I guess that's the next question with Zibanejad. Going forward, knowing that he's got this deal, he's young. He's going to be a focal piece on this team. Hopefully, you know, he stays healthy. He should be a lot to expect from Mika Zibanejad going into the camp and then also the regular season. So, how do you think putting this behind him after the trade with Ottawa? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, he wants to be the focal part. He wants to be that go-to guy on the team. He's getting, you know, he is a former first-round draft pick, so a lot of people have thought highly of him. It was a good trade, you know, when he came over. You and I had even spoken last preseason when that started up, how well he looked on a power play. He was exciting to watch. He had a lot of speed. He was a really good passer, and the season started off that way. Unfortunately, the injury happened, so I'm anticipating him having another really good start. His leg is fully healed. He should be ready to go, and which helps the Rangers now, is now that this is put away and done with. The Rangers know what they have salary cap-wise, and they can really start looking for that center that they need, either from the minor leagues or if they're going to make a trade. They really were handcuffed this last week or two because they didn't know how much they would have to give Zibanejad, so it was very hard to go out and sign a player before signing Zibanejad. Now if the Rangers want to make a trade or something, they have a lot more flexibility, or they know where they stand and what they can go after and what they can afford. So it was important to get this put away and get it done with, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and looking at Zibanejad's forecast, I know it's real early, and we know what he did last year. I can't remember right offhand if he made it to 40, 45 points. I don't think so in a regular season. I have to double check. But this is a guy that we need at least a point total. If I had to for what I see out of his skill set, at least get us in the 55, 60 point range minimum. I think he would be able to do it as long as you play out of 82 games. I say minimum 70 plus. I just got a lot of expectations out of him, man. Just got to see,
you know,
where this is going to go with his game, you know?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if he's, you know, this is going to be his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about his 7th season in the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
His highest that he's had is 51 points. If he's going to make that jump, you
more.
Would think, yeah, you paid. Well, last year with the Rangers, he only played in 56 games, and he had 37 points.
Yeah.
The year before that,
he didn't even make
81 with Ottawa. Right.
Oh,
and the year before that with Ottawa, he had 51. And the year before that, he played 80 games, and he had 46. He scored 20 goals or more twice.
Yeah, I thought the assists would have been there, though. Okay.
No,
I thought the assists would have
been. His assists are up. But it's just, yeah, sure, assists are up. He had 23 last year. 30 and 26 and 17. So his assist, he's a play, you know, he's definitely a playmaker. He has 87 assists in his year. He's only scored 64 goals. So this was his big contract, and now it's going to be his time to put the numbers up.
Yeah, it definitely
this
is.
This is the deal that he was waiting for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry?
As far as now that we got that ink down and he's out of the way, and like you said, now go out and do other moves because you needed to get this guy situated first before even any arbitration. What about other moves, Gorton? What's the strategy for Gorton? We've been ranting, as you already know, when you were here, about the lack of depth at center. Is it a question? Extra wings here and there. Where do we go from here as far as Gorton and his offseason to really piece this together? Any trades out there? Any just free agent signings? How you want to do this? Or how Gorton should go?
Well,
see, this, or what he's
it's free agent signings. It's pretty much done. I don't see them signing a free agent center now. Everyone who was available or moved or whatever is already locked in. There are rumors, and it's just rumors, nothing really solid with Tyler Bozak from Toronto's name's just been mentioned a lot. It's actually been mentioned too much, which is why I don't think it's going to happen. It would be a good
move. Why love a fairway Bozak?
Well, Toronto needs defensemen, and the Rangers have Nick Holden in the wind here right now. So the Rangers have $3 million in salary cap available. If you trade Holden, that gives you another $1.6 million. So that's almost $5 million in salary cap if they trade Holden, that they might be able to make some sort of deal with to bring a player over. Toronto's looking for defensemen. The Rangers are looking for centers. But it's sometimes it appears too perfect. And everything's been such speculation because the Rangers really didn't know what money they had to play with. So now they have to decide what they want to do. Do they want to hold on to this, to that money in case something happens down the road? There's been a lot of rumors that the Rangers might want to just wait until the trade deadline, hold on to Holden, and see how the centers that they have right now before they make a big move that they may not need to make. So it's all going to come down to what Gorton, AV, and even, I guess, Lindy Ruff have to say to give a direction of where they want to go. I wouldn't expect the Rangers to come out tomorrow and make another blockbuster trade. I think they're going to be really careful on this one. You know, a lot of people think Nieves in the AHL may make the team, and he's a center. He's not a great center, but he is a center. He could probably carry the fourth line. Rangers' first-round draft pick, Elias Anderson, he's a center. Some people think he might be able to step into that spot. You don't know if it's too early or not. You know, you have to see how they perform in preseason and how that works out. So they have some options. Gorton does not seem to be the kind of GM, Steve, that rushes into anything. He sort of knows what he wants to what to do before he does it, which is unusual for the Rangers, normally to just jump into those big trades and make you deal with it. They sort of did have that problem now when they traded Stefan and Ronka. That's what put them into this whole center situation. So I think the best way that they should play it is go a little bit slow, see what comes up out there, see if any trade offers come around, and then take it from there. Otherwise, they're going to go with Desjardins, who they just picked up as a free agent. They're going to use Kevin Hayes. They're going to use, obviously, Zibanejad. And then they'll just have to figure out what they want to do with that other center. I do know that AV has said plenty of times that J.T. Miller will not go to center, at least at the start of the season. At least that's the game plan now. That can change very easily. Yeah, but that could change very easily. You know, you play, eight preseason games. If it's not working out for the Rangers, he's going to have to put him into the center spot. And either way, they're still short two forwards. Because just remember, Jesper Fast is starting. So you still got to find another forward. Right. Now Hartford has some good plays. They might want to go with that. AV uses his fourth line tremendously. He relies on them. It's not just like a fourth line in the old days when it was just for fighting and giving the better players a break. He uses his fourth line. So I don't know where they're going to go with that. They're going to have to just sit down and figure it out. But with all the moves they made and the good summer that they've had, they still have a lot of question marks.
Yeah, they definitely do. I do know AV is high on Anderson, the workouts. I mentioned it last week, how they had the workouts in Tarrytown. But it's kind of like you got to see more in camp stuff. I mean, you're big on the kid. I'm talking about Elias Anderson. You're big on the kid, his skill set, his optimism. AV loves it. But until you actually see it in actual game speed action with other competition, you kind of have to hold on that. So that's probably something they're probably going to hold in their back pocket as far as if they're going to entertain him at center. Hey, I mean, and I even said it even last week, why not even – I mean, why – you should at least consider it. I mean, why not – in today's NHL, you see all these young stars, and I'm not saying Elias Anderson is a Connor McDavid or he's an Austin Matthews, but you got to, you know, play these guys. They're 18, 19. They've had played against grown men. Let them play. You know, if as long as they prove themselves in camp and practice – and then you get their approval through the assistant coaches, you get it through AV, you get it through Gorton. I think the kid can, after watching some more of the tapes I got a hold of as far as him in the adult league out there. But it's just a matter of time. I think that's something they're going to hold in their back pocket. But they think I think I'm leaning with you as far as if there's a veteran going out there, a veteran to really put that in place. There is a surplus of defensemen, as you already know. Do you think the Rangers withholding, do you think they would deal him or really be at a good place with a hold on to Holden and try to keep that intact? Like, well, how do you think they're going to do it, or you think they're going to just milk it out as far as swapping a defenseman with a center? What do you think they're going to do with that?
I don't know. I guess it depends on who the center is that they're looking at. You know,
yeah.
The good side is they have the extra defenseman. But the flip side to it is if you trade them and then your six guys, one of them perhaps gets injured or doesn't play as well, you don't have another quality guy to step in for that position. And then you're in the same spot you were in last year when some of the guys weren't playing well and you didn't have a good seventh defenseman. They have a couple of guys in the minors that could come up and play defense. I don't know if they could play a whole season. They haven't really – they're not at that level yet. It's like what you were saying with Anderson. You like to see him come up and play. And he's playing with adult guys now where he's playing. But you got to remember, the hockey rinks are larger in international play. They don't hit nearly as much as they hit in the National Hockey League. Even in the prospect camp, they were playing with all prospects. It's different when when you're under the lights,
totally.
When you're playing in a real game. These guys, they're bigger, they're faster, and he hasn't played a quality – I don't want to say he hasn't played a quality player. The game is just different than the NHL. And, you know, Anderson could be great to start the first 10 games, and then it starts to take its toll on him. You know, the Rangers were lucky with a Jimmy Vesey last year. He more or less was able to manage himself the entire season. It doesn't happen often. So when it comes to what you're saying with the defenseman, it's another thing. You don't know what's in their heads. Me, personally, I wouldn't trade Holden right away. You know, you're putting a lot of weight on Anthony DeAngelo now, who only has 39 games played in the NHL. Supposedly he comes to New York and he can't handle the pressure and he struggles. And now you traded Nick Holden. Now who steps in there?
Yep.
All of a sudden now, as good as things look, they don't look good. Right now the Rangers defensively, they want to improve, which they really did. I would hold on to Holden for a little while, see how it plays out with the Rangers with the forward positions, try to get by to at least when Fast can come back into the lineup, and then see where they're at. But, you know,
that's
you
a
say
long
that
time.
Tomorrow. Well, you know, the other thing I remember, well, they're talking about waiting for the trade deadline to get rid of Holden. And to me, that's in February. You could be
that's
out
a longer
of the playoffs
time.
By then.
Oh, yeah.
That's a longer time.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's a longer time.
You know,
time.
I think it all comes down to the quality player. If Gorton really likes Bozak from Toronto and the deal did get work out and they wanted Holden, I think he would make the trade if he really wants him. If it's for another center that they're not too high on, then he might not. So it all depends who's looking to make a move and so forth. The Rangers are playing in a tough division, so you don't want to get too far behind in this. Otherwise, you'd be battling back the whole time.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was going to bring that up later in the next couple of weeks, is looking at the Devils, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, the teams within the division, the Capitals, of course, the Penguins. Definitely see how those transactions transpire. And how they match up, or how the Rangers match up with those teams, and definitely want to look into that as we go along this summer, heading into camp, heading into the preseason as well. But can I ask you something as far as Alain Vigneault? Do you think there's a little bit pressure to be a little bit more successful, perhaps a Stanley Cup playoff berth, Stanley Cup finals berth, actually? Not playoff, but talking about finals. So you saw that we didn't get past the second round. And you know how it is in New York. You got to win. You got to keep winning. It's been, you know, the Rangers haven't been to the finals in about, what, 5 years now, 4 or 5 years now. AV, I think, is a fine coach, and I think the players respect him. But is there a lot of the changes that's happened with the roster? What kind of pressure do you think he may have, or is he getting somewhat of a pass if he doesn't get past the first round or the second round? How do you look at that as we make these transactions now in the summer? Like, is there any thoughts on that as far as him looking to have?
I would think the goal for a lot of these teams, you know, not the Penguins and the Blackhawks and teams that win the Cup a lot. I think for the Rangers, you want to get at least to the Eastern Conference Finals. Look, everybody wants to get to the Stanley Cup, and it just doesn't happen. I don't think losing in the first or the second round is acceptable at this point. I think they are putting a good quality team on the ice. They've definitely improved in a lot of the areas where they were weak last year and even the season before. You know, two seasons ago, we got knocked out in the first round by the Penguins. This year, we got knocked out in the second round by Ottawa. If you make it to the Eastern Conference Final, you're showing growth and improvement. Lundqvist is always facing far the time, but that can't really concern you. If it doesn't matter what his age is, he's starting in goalie, then he's expected to win. So I would think a realistic is the Eastern Conference Finals. You'd love to get to the Stanley Cup Finals and win it all. If they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, at least you can say, well, over the last 3 years, they've gone further and further and further. And as long as the team keeps improving each offseason, you expect more and more to come of it. Like, for example, you just met the Capitals. They won two President's Trophies, still couldn't get out of the second round, and this year had a horrible offseason. I mean, they haven't signed anyone that you could really name. I personally thought Ovechkin was going to get traded because there was a lot of rumors about that going on. They did re-sign TJ Oshie, excuse me, but they haven't brought anybody new. And you don't want to be in that spot. The Rangers have been in that spot. You can't watch everybody around you get better, and you either stay even where you were or you take a couple of steps backwards. Pressure-wise, I think in New York, the head coach is always under a lot of pressure. I mean, we've only won one Stanley Cup since 1940. So you can't really escape it or get around it, but I think you have to show constant improvement to earn your spot. And like you said, the team does play well for him. He's been to the finals, what, three times and hasn't won a cup. That's not all on him, but, you know, he's the leader of the team, so he's going to get the pressure from that, you know, when he was with Vancouver and when he was with the Rangers. So pressure's a weird thing. Expectation's a better word I like to use. And I think the expectations for the Rangers are high now. I think if they find another center and they can really polish off the lineup before the season starts, the expectations are going to grow even more. So
as of right now, do you think I know the team is still constructing itself, retooling itself, but as of right now, you don't think they are better than what they are last year? You're looking at the subtraction of a backup goalie, Stepan, despite his woes, haven't found any added a couple forwards and a couple centers to really get balance through the top nine. What do you see with? Do you think the team has been worse? Or is it better?
No.
The team
is
addition and subtraction.
Yeah, I don't think the team is any worse than last year whatsoever. I do think they've improved. I think especially in playoff hockey that you can win playoff games with solid defense and goaltending. We've seen that before. And if you look at the way the Rangers lost to the Ottawa series, it was a lot on defensive hockey, not just the defenseman, but overall how they played as a defensive unit when they lost game two and five in overtime when they had late leads. So if the offense isn't as potent, but the defense is stronger, you might still can win those kind of games. I think overall right now, they don't have anyone – no. How do I say this? They haven't brought in anybody who's replaced Stefan's 17 goals from last year. And granted, he didn't have a great season, but he still had like a 50-point season. He still, you know, was a good, really good passer. His faceoffs aren't that well, but he was putting points up on the board. So no one's replaced him. I don't think Desjardins replaces Oscar Lindbergh.
Hell no. No, that's a hell no.
A couple of years ago, yes, because he was scoring some points and he was putting points up and scoring some goals. But now he's more of a face-off man. You know, defense. I would call him a defensive specialist. He should be used a lot in the defensive end in late games when we need face-off wins. You know, now him and Zibanejad, those are the guys I expect AV to put out there and to forget about line combinations. Put your best two face-off guys out there. Be sure you win those face-offs late in games when you're tied or up a goal. So offensively, they weren't a potent, explosive team to begin with. But now you take away Stefan, you take away Lindbergh. Who's going to be putting the puck in the net? Nash is around the 20-goal scorer. Zuccarello, you really hope Kreider can step it up, because if they ever needed Kreider to take that a giant step forward.
I mean, he made some strides. He scored 30 last year. Goals. I mean,
he made, you know, something. He scored 30 last year, and sometimes you feel like it wasn't enough. And I know that's putting too much pressure on him. But it was, you know, something. You forget it was a 30-goal season for him. It was weird. He plays in such hot and cold streaks. There were some games when he skates on the ice, and you're like, if he plays like this every game, he's unstoppable. And then he plays those games when he goes through 10-game spurts when the announcer doesn't even – Sam Rosen doesn't even mention his name in Micheletti. It's very inconsistent, which is a hard way to go. JT Miller had a great season last year. He stepped up. We had spoken about that. He quieted down. He wasn't consistent through the whole year, but he definitely made great strides, and he's definitely a go-to guy on the team. Zuccarello's always a go-to guy on the team, so there's not much to talk about. Here's a good one, Steve. Is Gravel going to have the same season this year as he had last year?
I don't think so.
Because if he does it, that's a big goal drop.
Yeah, it is a goal.
Who's scoring goals for the Rangers?
That was an add bonus. That was a big bonus right there.
Sure.
That was a real big
bonus. In the beginning of the season, he couldn't miss. So who's putting the puck in the net for the Rangers right now? So now you've improved so much on your defense. But your power play, I mean, you hope with Shattenkirk and Brendan Smith and D'Angelo and Ryan McDonough that the power play will improve. But there aren't a lot of guys up there that can do it. They're going to put a lot of heat on Zibanejad on the power play. And here I'm throwing a name out to you people think I'm crazy about. I thought the Rangers should have made an offer for Jager. Because you cannot tell me that
he's like
47,
literally. I'm not even joking when I say that. He's like 47, right? He's up there.
He's up there, and he had a good season last year. He can still put the puck in the net on a power play. He can still run your power play, and he can still get some wins. I mean, if you're going to go with what you have now here, and you're still short, we're figuring they're short two forwards somewhere, maybe one forward, depending on how you're looking at it. I mean, let's get something that's going to help the team. You know, you could bring Nieves up from the minors. I don't think – I mean, I don't know what he wants, Sally. I don't even think it's an offer. It's just something I was looking at. It's not a horrible move. It's not a horrible idea. I mean, let's put it this way. Would you want Jager in the lineup, or would you want a guy that hasn't played in the NHL yet in the lineup and you don't know anything about? And I'm not knocking Anderson at all, but I just don't – I think he would be better with one more year to go. But because the Rangers are so desperate to bring a center up, he's going to get a really good look this year. I don't know if he's going to make it or not, but he's going to get that look. So, you know, I'm surprised that Jager hasn't signed anywhere. I mean, he may be 47, but he skated with Florida's youngest guys last year, and they couldn't keep up with him. So, he's one of those freaks of nature that can, at 47, is skating like he was 37 or 25. He can really move, and he's really smart on the ice, which is what the Rangers need. The Rangers need something to get goals on a power play. They haven't improved in that area at all.
Well,
they improved
goals,
on the blue line,
also
but
quality shots too. I mean, I'm talking about
now.
Keep the goal. I think that's probably just as important as the goals. The goals, of course. That's why you're there. But momentum swings,
but
as you always said.
Well, the Rangers did improve on that part. I think Shattenkirk will be good on the power play. I think he's going to give McDonough more opportunities, because if they split them up on the power play, the opposition's team is only going to be able to, you know, which penalty kill unit gets McDonough, which penalty kill unit gets Shattenkirk. So it kind of opens it up. But how many times have we said things like that? On paper, it looks great. And then when they play on the ice,
we
it looks like Pee Wee hockey.
You got to play. You're right.
Yeah.
But you got two playmakers on the back end of the power play setting things up. Or either if you put them on two units or if you put them together, I mean, you would think it has to work. I mean, it can't get any worse, could it? 3 for 39.
No, it won't get any worse. No.
Yeah.
No.
RP,
it got worse.
Not to be out of time. Tell everybody how you could be found for Ranger Proud and your exclusive articles talking writing for the New York Rangers as well.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook at Ranger Proud, and we're on Twitter at Ranger Proud. Excuse me, Instagram is ranger.proud, and now I'm running for the Ranger section of EliteSportsNewYork.com, which is all New York sports, but I do the Ranger, and they have a really good reach out there for Ranger fans, so you guys check it out. And, you know, day by day we keep plugging along here. They're one big player away from really being a contender, Steve. They're one good player away. They're right there. At least I think so.
Yeah, I think we're not getting in the ballpark, man. But it's going to be tough with that division. I know we're going to have those talks in the upcoming weeks this summer on the Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud. That is the conclusion of this episode. It's great to have you back, man. Next time you get that fish, you got to put the bass on the gram, man. You got to put it out there for the fish you're catching, man.
You got it.
Ain't nothing better than that, so that's relaxing right there, dude. Real relaxing.
Absolutely.
I'm due for one, too, man. I ain't been out in a minute when it comes to the fishing. Well, that's another story for another day. Check out Ranger Proud and Bleed Blue Show. Be back next week for another episode, get into more stuff with the competition within the division, more AV stuff, Jeff Gordon stuff. Other than that, Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.